So we're continuing with plants tonight. What plants have you already looked at? Well, actually, let's just quickly review the grand scheme of plants. What are the two major groups of plants? If you want to think about all plants being broken into two major groups, what are those two groups? Right, vascular and non-vascular. What are the non-vascular plants? Bryophytes. Collectively, they're called that. You looked at bryophytes last time. You also looked at some vascular plants. Vascular plants as a whole is broken into what two groups? Seedless and seeded, yes. What were examples of seedless vascular plants that you looked at? As far as species are concerned, the biggest group of seedless vascular plants are what? Ferns, yes. And the rest of them are seeded vascular plants, some of which you look at tonight, but some of which you looked at last time. What were the group of seeded vascular plants that you looked at last time? Well, what were the, if you don't know the name of the overall group, what were some examples that you looked at? Pines. Pines are examples of what major group of seeded vascular plants? They are conifers, but coniferophyta, which is the group of conifers, is actually part of the group I'm talking about. So, within vascular plants, you have seedless and seeded. Just within seeded vascular plants, you have two major groups as well, one of which was last week. That includes the pines, and that group is the gymnosperms. Gymno means what? What does gym mean? It means naked, which is why a gymnasium was named. Gymnasium was a place where you would exercise in the nude. So gymnosperm literally means naked sperm. That's where we left off last week. So now we're going to that other major group within the seeded vascular plants, which are what? Angiosperms, right. And these have been the most successful plants of all, which is why if you just randomly choose a plant, it's likely going to be an angiosperm. There's just a hell of a lot of them on Earth. And most of the ones we care about in terms of decorating and things like that are angiosperms. What is the common name for angiosperms? Flowering plants, yes. That's how they fundamentally differ from gymnosperms. Angiosperms are flowering. They not only produce flowers, though, which are reproductive organs, they also produce fruits. And that's another reason why if you just randomly name a plant, it's likely going to be an angiosperm, because it's also the ones that we are most likely to eat or buy to eat. There's all kinds of different flowers, as you know. Not just in shape and color, but also not all flowers have all of the components, which is why in your manual you're given an idealized picture of a flower that's known as a complete flower, because it has all four whorls, or parts, to it. So there are four major parts to any flower. What are those parts? Sepals, which are green usually. Petals, which can be just about any color. Carpels. And stamens. Now, two of those four are reproductive, whereas two of them are not, right? They're just vegetative. Which two are the reproductive ones? Carpels and stamens, yes. And it probably doesn't surprise you to learn that the two kinds of reproductive structures differ in that in gender. There's a male and a female part to a flower, if it's a complete flower. In some species, you'll have flowers that only have male parts and other flowers that only have female parts. But in a complete flower, you have both. Which is which, by the way? Which is the male part? Stamens are male. They are slender, usually much more slender than a carpel, however many carpels there are. By the way, in some flowers you have some, not sunflowers. In certain flowers, species, you have multiple carpels that are fused together, and that overall structure, however many carpels are there, is called a pistil. So that's the difference between carpel and pistil, which look the same on some drawings. Anyway, the stamens are much slender. They both have a length to them in most species, so they both have a stalk, but much thinner for stamens. At the ends of the stamens, the unattached ends, are enlarged little bulbous structures called what? What are found right at the tips of stamens? Anthers. And why, what's the big deal about anthers? Right, they produce pollen and get released from the anthers, either by the wind or some other agent, typically an animal. If it's an animal, it's more often than not an insect of some sort, but also some mammals are pollinators, like bats, for instance. Anything that can brush up against an anther, collect pollen on its body accidentally, and then happen upon the sticky end of a carpel will aid in fertilization, right? Or pollination, I should say. Speaking of the carpel, it usually is kind of bowling pin shaped with a bulbous base to it where it is attached. That's bigger in diameter than the rest of it. What is that part called? That is the ovary, which, as the name indicates, is the place where eggs are produced. It's what an ovary is. It produces ova, which are eggs. Then it has a slender but still thicker than the stamen. Has a stalk that leads to an end that has also kind of an enlarged tip compared to the stalk. And what is that enlarged tip of a carpel called? The stigma, which is not just the end, it's also sticky. Which makes perfect sense, because that's the receiving end. That's where pollen needs to land by whatever means in order for successful reproduction to occur. Cells within the pollen grain dig down through that long style or the stalk of the carpel and eventually fertilize an egg. A sperm fertilizes an egg, and a different cell fertilizes a different cell other than the egg. Plants have double fertilization, which is another weirdness about them, genetically speaking. But that's the basics of a flower. What's the big deal about petals? They're not reproductive. So what are they doing for the flower? Why was it a good evolutionary adaptation? This is a big deal. This defines the angiosperms. But what's the big deal about the petals? Exactly. It's advertisement, basically. So the bright colors attract various animals, and they come along and basically do the work for the plant. The plants, like I said, can't get up, move around, and meet each other and mate, so they have to rely on things that will get the pollen from one place to another, from one individual to another, or even within the same individual, from one flower to another. Plants can self-pollinate, in other words, certain species can, not all of them. All right, now that's the second major group of seeded vascular plants, gymnosperms and angiosperms. But then angiosperms has two major groups within it. What are those two major kinds of angiosperms? What was it? No, those are structures, not types of plants. Two major kinds of angiosperms. Two major groups. That just is a lifestyle distinction. It's not phylogenetic groups. Two groups I'm looking for are the monocots and the eudicots, or some people will just say dicots. Monocots and eudicots. And the cot part of those words is short for what? Mono means one, obviously. Di means two. But what is cot short for? Cotyledon. Cotyledons are storage tissues within seeds. The seed itself contains a lot of stored energy for the embryo that's growing inside it. All right? So cotyledons are stored food for a very, very young plant in the seed. But we distinguish the two groups of angiosperms based on how many cotyledons are present. One for monocots, two for eudicots. That's not the only difference, though. There's also other ways to identify, much easier ways. You'd have to closely examine a seed to actually determine whether it's monocot or dicot. But you can look at adult plants and pretty easily tell whether they're monocot or dicot for various reasons. Like there's different venation. Venation refers to the patterns that the veins make, the vessels within a leaf. So monocots have mostly parallel venation in their leaves, whereas dicots have highly branched venation. And you'll see examples over there when you look at the leaves. Also, the number of parts that the flowers have is different. Monocots usually have multiples of three, either three itself or six, whereas dicots have multiples of four or five, either four, eight, five, or ten pieces. And other things as well. For instance, dicots have secondary growth. They get wider in a different way compared to monocots. So those are the two subdivisions of just tonight's topic, which is angiosperms. The second one is really just an anatomical, the second chapter is really just an anatomical chapter going over the flower I just told you about. So go ahead and look at stuff.